Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. Truly, we are in awe. Amen. Of our living God. Amen. Praise the Lord. It's good to be with you this morning. God bless you all. I greet you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Certainly glad to be in the house of God this morning. Amen. Let's just bow our heads for a word of prayer as we change the order of the service this morning. Father, we are truly grateful, Lord, to be able to gather together. And Lord, we don't just gather, Lord, as a social gathering, Lord, or like a club would gather together, Lord. Nothing wrong with that, but Lord, we have something deeper, Lord. Lord, a connection that goes all the way back into eternity. Lord, we've found out who our Father is, Lord, and it binds us together as the family of God. And this morning, Lord, as we gather together with the shared testimony of Christ crucified, the Lamb of God who is our Savior, Lord, we come under that shed blood, Lord. We don't come under our own righteousness, but we come under our own sacrifice, Lord, our living sacrifice, Lord, that was shed for us. Lord, we're truly grateful for it, Lord. We couldn't thank you enough, Lord, for all that you've done for us, all that you've given to us. But Lord, we want to return thanks. We want to return praise to you. We want to honor you in our lives, the things we say, the things we do, the way we live, Lord. And this morning, Lord, as we've gathered together, Lord, we want to honor your word, Lord, by living it out, receiving it, Lord, grabbing a hold of it by faith, Lord, and living it out before a sinful world. Father, may you just anoint that word this morning. May you just anoint our hearts and our minds, Lord, as we surrender to you completely. And we know, Lord, that you have something to say to our hearts this morning. Maybe it will be something different for each one, Lord, but we know that it'll be just on time, Lord, and it'll be just what we need in due season, Lord, for whatever we happen to be going through, whatever stage of life we may be in, Lord, whatever trial we might be going through, Father, we know, Lord, that your word is timely and it has exactly what we have need of. So we just submit ourselves to you, Lord, and ask these things in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. Thank you, musicians. Amen. We'd like to turn to Genesis, the 15th chapter this morning, and just remember our pastor and brother and sister Baker in prayer. Amen. As they're traveling, they're in the, I guess it's Maryland or Virginia, but anyway, it's the Washington, D.C. area where they're at there. And they're there for the church dedication meetings there. And so we just pray the Lord would bless them. And they'll be staying in that area for a few more days. We just pray the Lord will be with them and keep them safe. Amen. Give them a nice rest. Amen. Praise the Lord. You glad to be here this morning? Yeah. Amen. Praise the Lord. We'd like to just look at a subject here this morning of the covenants of God. Amen. So we want to start here in Genesis chapter 15. And this is part of God giving a covenant to Abraham. Amen. Genesis 15 verse 1. It says, after these things, the word of the Lord came unto Abram in a vision, saying, fear not, Abram, I am thy shield and thy exceeding great reward. What comforting words these must have been for Abram, who had left his family, the protection of his family. Remember, it wasn't just, you know, family ties in terms of, oh, I'm leaving my loved ones. It was protection. It was They leaned on each other. They gained strength from the great family units, right? And here he is vulnerable. He's left. He's out on his own. He's wandering in the wilderness wherever God leads him. But God is coming to just remind him, I am your shield, and I am thy exceeding great reward. And Abram said, Lord God, what wilt thou give me, seeing I go childless, and the steward of my house is this Eliezer of Damascus? And Abram said, behold, to me thou hast given no seed, and lo, one born in my house is mine heir. And behold, the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, this shall not be thine heir, but he that shall come forth out of thine own bowels shall be thine heir. And he brought him forth abroad, and he said, now, look now toward heaven, and tell the stars, if thou be able to number them. And he said unto him, so shall thy seed be. That must have been quite a shock for him. Amen. And he believed God. He believed in the Lord. And he counted it to him for righteousness. Amen. What a simple response. God tells him something so beyond the pale of human understanding. You don't have any seed, but yet your seed shall be like the stars. And Abraham just says, I believe you. Amen. I believe you. What you said, I believe it. Amen. And God was so pleased with that, that he counted to him for righteousness. Amen. What is our part? Only believe. And he said unto him, I am the Lord that brought thee out of Ur of the Chaldees to give thee to this land to inherit it. And he said, Lord God, whereby shall I know that I shall inherit it? And he said unto him, take me a heifer of 3 years old, and a she-goat of 3 years old, and a ram of 3 years old, and a turtle dove, and a young pigeon. And he took unto him all of these, and divided them in the midst. So he cut them in half, right? And he laid each piece one against another, but the birds he divided he not. And when the fowls, so all the other pieces they divided in half, and he set them apart, and then the birds he just set aside. And when the fowls came upon the carcasses, Abram drove them away. And when the sun was going down, a deep sleep fell upon Abram, and lo, a horror of great darkness fell upon him. And he said unto Abram, know of a surety that thy seed shall be a stranger in a land that is not theirs, and shall serve them, and they shall afflict them 400 years. Now this came to pass exactly, amen, where Israel went to Egypt and were slaved, right? Enslaved. And also that nation whom they shall serve, which was Egypt, will I judge. And afterward shall they come out with great substance. And that happened too, right? They spoiled the land of Egypt, one of the most powerful nations on earth, took gold and all kinds of things. Amen. So they came out with great substance. And thou shalt go to thy fathers in peace, and thou shalt be buried in a good old age. But in the fourth generation they shall come hither again, for the iniquity of the Amorites is not yet full. And it came to pass that when the sun went down, and it was dark, behold, a smoking furnace and a burning lamp passed between those pieces. In the same day the Lord made a covenant with Abram, saying, unto thy seed have I given this land, from the river of Egypt unto the great river, the river Euphrates. Amen. Amen. You can be seated this morning. So there's many times that God comes to Abraham and affirms to him portions of his covenant with him. But this particular instance, God affirms a covenant with him, and it uses those exact words. The same day the Lord made a covenant with him, and he performed it with those ritual sacrifices of those animals. So what we'd like to do this morning is kind of look at how these covenants are made, and we want to bring it down to the implications to us. Amen. You know, they say that They have a saying in the military, in their communications, they call it bluff, B-L-U-F, right? It's the bottom line up front. So you're supposed to say all this big long, say you're writing some sort of letter or something, just tell me at the top what you're going to say. And then if I'm interested, I'll read the rest, right? But we want to make sure and say this morning that these covenants that we're speaking of all are pointing to Christ. Every one of them is directing us up to the point and speaking of the place where we would be part of the ultimate covenant, amen, which is a covenant with Christ. And that's the covenant that we are under, the covenant of grace, amen. And so when we look at these things, we want to keep that in mind. We want to understand how these things in the Bible are speaking to where we are now and how God is dealing with us. And the reason that we do this, Brother Branham put it this way. He said, you know, the Bible is an Eastern book, right? And he said, and sometimes we try to understand it with a Western mind. And he says, you can't understand it with Western full of, you know, understanding or education, and that's all we know, right, is Western thinking. And so we have to kind of dig a little deeper sometimes to understand it from the Eastern way of the way they would do things. Yeah. If you were to speak about a covenant that was made to somebody who grew up in those cultures, they would instantly understand all the implications. But for us, we don't do that, right? So it's not something that's familiar to us. But I believe if we look at the scriptures and look at these things, it will help us understand. Amen. It will bring us a deeper appreciation for what we have in Christ. Amen. And it will take us all the way down to understand, for us to know that we are the people of the covenant. Amen. Amen. That's a quote. You are the people of the covenant. Amen. And you've got to know that. Amen. Amen. So there are many other covenants made in the scripture. We can go through, we're not going to go through all those covenants. We want to look at what it actually is to make a covenant. But right at the very beginning in the Garden of Eden, there was a covenant made between God and man. And then there was a covenant made between with Adam, and a covenant made when man fell. And there was a covenant made with Noah, right? We're all familiar with that, the great rainbow after the flood. That was part of the covenant that God made. And, of course, there are many other smaller covenants made through time. But this is the way that God has dealt with man. He is one who abides by his word, right? And he sets things up in a very structured, legal way, if we can just understand how he works. So this word, so bear with me. I want to kind of look, dig a little deeper into this idea of a covenant. And I hope we don't get bogged down into the details, but the details of this are important, and they all relate back to us. Amen. And that's the important thing. But if we look at this, the definition of a covenant. So the word is a bereath in Hebrew, and it doesn't just mean a contract, right? So when we think of a covenant as Western people, a lot of times we'll relate it to some sort of contract, because we're familiar with contracts, right? When you rent a house or an apartment, you sign a lease, right? That's a contract. When you borrow money, maybe you have a contract, or there's different contracts that we enter into that are part of our normal business, right? Normal life. And contracts, are kind of everyday, life for us here in the West. But a contract is really focused on goods and services, right? It's, I'm going to provide you this. If you're going to do this and I'm going to do that, we're going to pay, I'm going to pay you this much, over Maybe I have to take out a, you know, pay you a loan or whatever it is, right? I'm going to lease this place for 2 years and, you know, you're going to provide me, you know, this house plus whatever is involved in that, right? And it's some sort of contractual agreement, but it's focused around goods or services, right? So the way that a covenant is different is it's focused around people, okay? Different. It's not goods and services. It's focused around people. Now, you know, in the age that we live in, when we talk about contracts, contracts are really, you know, people look at contracts as, well, you know, I could break it if I need to, right? Let's use our lease agreement as another example. Well, if you have a 2 year lease and you're 1 year into it and you need to move because you got a job somewhere else, right? What are you going to do? You're going to break that lease agreement, right? Nobody thinks that that's immoral, right? That, I mean, not even the landowner or the owner is going to think that's immoral. They're like, okay, yeah, sure. Now you're going to pay a cost for it. There's a penalty that might come with breaking that agreement, but there's no morality tied to it, right? It's not, oh, you're an awful person because you broke your lease agreement early. No, it's just, it was a contract and there's consequences to breaking it or, you know, that go along with it, but it's business, right? It's normal. And unfortunately, you know, just as if I could extend this out, many people think of marriage as a contract, right? If it's convenient or no longer convenient, we just break the contract and move on and do something else, right? Like a lease agreement. But that's why marriage is a covenant. It's not a contract, right? A mere business contract can be broken if it makes sense. And nobody's going to think the worst of anybody else. But a covenant is entirely different. A covenant is more like an exchange of persons than an exchange of goods. It's actually binding people. Okay? It's not a contract. It is, I am yours and you are mine. Right? A marriage, as I mentioned, is one of the greatest examples of a covenant that we have. The word of a covenant, that berik, means, it actually comes from two words in the Hebrew. The first is to bind or fetter, okay, bind together. The other is to eat. So we're binding together and we're eating on it, right? That's what a covenant, the word for the covenant, is from. So how the covenant was made, they called it cutting a covenant. Okay? So maybe this is where the term comes from. We're going to cut a deal. Right? And that's where it comes from. Is they were, the Hebrew phrase for it is karat berit, means to cut a covenant. Okay? If we're going to have a covenant, we're going to cut a covenant. That's because they would make a covenant by cutting animals. Okay? So that the animals, as we read here in Genesis, would be cut, split in half. One half on one side, one half on the other side. Then those that were entering into the covenant would walk between them. They call that the oath walk. They would walk between the sacrifices that were split in two. And they would swear an oath. And by walking between them, they would, in a physical way, they would proclaim and identify an oath. This is my covenant that I'm entering into with you. If I fail in my part, may I be like these animals that have been cut asunder. Right? That is the seriousness of entering into this type of covenant. If I fail, let me be torn apart. I'll do everything in my power never to fail because I know that it's serious and I'm putting my life on the line. Yeah. Then they would share a meal together and they would have some sort of communal feast. And that symbolized taking someone who was a stranger or an enemy and now they're making them family. That's why eating together was such a powerful symbol, right? Because you didn't just do that with your enemies.
Right.
So it was actually tying people together almost like a family, even though they weren't related, but it was like having family type ties. And that now going forward, they were going to operate in harmony. They weren't going to be enemies or strangers, right? When they would come into your presence, we are part of a covenant now. We are covenanted together, right? They were bound together by this covenant. And then sometimes they would have some sort of visible sign of the covenant that's been exchanged. So God gave the rainbow. He gave Abraham the sign of circumcision. In the ancient times, they would create like a pillar of rocks. They still find them today. They can still find those archaeological places. But I believe it was when Jacob and his father-in-law made a covenant, right? I'm doing that from memory, but I believe that they made a pillar of rocks as well, right? So these were things that they did to remind themselves of these covenants that were made. So the covenants, then, the covenant must be kept. Amen. And when God makes covenants with man, I've mentioned several different ones. Some of them were on conditions, and some of them were unconditional. The ones that are on unconditional, like with Abraham, it depended entirely on the faithfulness of the one making the promise. Amen. It was entirely one-sided. They called it a grant covenant. I'm going to do for you. Amen. Even if the recipient fails, the covenant still remained in effect. The recipient, what they did had nothing to do with it. It was all on the grantor. Amen. And they would initiate it and they would fulfill the covenant. They bound their honor to that covenant. I will not fail to do this thing. Amen. Now, some were conditional, and it required both parties to fulfill. And if they broke the covenant, there were consequences for breaking the covenant. And that's, when we look at the covenant that God gave to Israel through Moses, the law, giving of the law, the Mosaic law, right? That was Israel, you must do these things. If you keep these commandments and do these things, then you will be blessed. And if you don't, then you will be cursed.
Right.
If you do these things, this will happen. If you don't do these things, this will happen. Right? It was on conditions. They had to fulfill their part of the covenant, or else the covenant was broken.
Right.
Amen? Amen? So this whole idea of God coming down and making a covenant with man was unique and foreign to all the other nations. Israel was unique in this way because the other nations, they had gods. They believed in gods, right? But their gods would never do this. Amen? Their gods would never come and make a covenant with humanity, with human beings. Their gods were fickle. Their gods just commanded and said, do this and do this, and I'll, if I feel this way today, I'll do this, and if I feel this way tomorrow, I'll do, maybe I'll bless you, maybe I won't, depends how, that's how their gods were. Can you imagine people serving a God like that? They would never bind themselves to a legal agreement or to a legal obligation like Jehovah did. Amen? Jehovah he has such honor that he would bind himself to frail humanity and say, I'm going to do this, and I give you my word.
Right.
I obligate myself to you.
Amen.
Through my promise. Amen?
Right.
So this is, this is unique to him.
Amen.
Because he's true and faithful. It's his nature to be faithful. Amen. He's so good. Amen. I love that about him, that he's consistent and he's faithful and he doesn't change. And we don't have to wonder, is he mad today? Is he right? He's not up and down. He's steady. He's the same. And he honors his word. Hallelujah. So let's look at Abraham's covenant a little bit more in detail here this morning. This Abraham covenant was unconditional. Abraham was a called out man. God came to Abraham, called him out. He said, I will make you a great nation. That applies natural and spiritually, right? Because this covenant continues on spiritually to the spiritual seed of Abraham. It's not just natural. But he did promise him natural blessings. He promised him the richness of the land. He promised him a land all the way from the Nile to the Euphrates River. If you ever look at a map, that's a big piece of property. Amen. That goes all the way from down in Egypt all the way to modern day Iraq. Across, I don't know, four countries through there, right? Man, if Israel had all that right now, they'd have an even bigger target. But natural blessings, but it belongs to them naturally, right? But we have a spiritual inheritance. He said, I will bless them that bless thee. I will curse them that curse thee. Amen. And we are blessed under this covenant. Amen. As the Bible says, we're going to read here in the New Testament here, where we are the spiritual seed of Abraham. I will bless those that bless you. I will curse those that curse you. Jesus said, you know, if you offend one of these, the least of my little ones, it's better a millstone hanged around your neck. Amen. So Abraham's, he was given this covenant, and it was all God doing or making the covenant with Abraham. This was a one-sided covenant in that scene that we see in Genesis. Abraham is put to sleep. God sets him aside and says, Abraham, just rest for a little bit. I'm taking this on. Abraham was ready and willing to enter into this covenant with God as a full participant. But God said, no, you can't do this. Amen? Just rest. And let me do it. Hallelujah. Amen? Just rest a while and let me do it.
Right.
And God began to do the oath walk between the sacrifices. And he said, I will. I will. I will. There was never a mention of Abraham will. It is what God will do. Amen. And the Bible says that Abraham believed. So that was his part to fulfill the covenant, was I willingly enter into this covenant and I believe you.
Amen.
I accept it. I receive it. I believe it. I judge you who made it faithful. That was his part. Amen. Abraham's faith was then tested. Tested, tested, tested. Amen. Our faith is tested and tested and tested. And then God gave him a sign of circumcision, showing your faith has been tested and you are the heir of this covenant.
Amen.
And all that will follow after you. Amen. So God alone is going to keep it. Now, this is a type also of the covenant that would be made later that we call the New Testament.
Yes.
Amen. Now, we're going to look at that and read that scripture later on. But it is translated in the English, in the King James, as the New Testament. That's where we get that term. But the actual word there, in fact, is translated in other translations as the New Covenant. Amen? So this is speaking of the covenant that we are under, which is the new covenant. Amen? Which is, we couldn't save ourselves. We couldn't do it. We had no power. We had no ability. But God came and said, just rest. Amen? While I do it. And then believe it. Hallelujah. So let's look at some of these. Actually, I guess I have a couple of quotes here. Let's go ahead and read those before we get into some of these scriptures here. But this is from the message, God's Only Provided Place of Worship. He says, I want you to notice again, there was also two covenants given. One covenant was given to Adam, which was on conditions, like law. If you will not touch this, then you will live, but if you touch this, you will die. That was a law. And then there was another law given to Abraham, which was by grace, unconditionally. I have saved you and your seed after you. Amen. That is a type of Calvary. Not the type of Adam's covenant, it's an Abrahamic covenant. But now we hear him say there is only one place where he will meet man to worship. And you heard it right here in the text. We'll refer to it back in a few minutes. And if there's only one place that God meets man, we had better be very careful. Now let's lay aside our traditions this morning in this Sunday school lesson and be sure, very sure, that we find that one place. Because God has said here he will not receive you in another place. Any other church he won't receive you in, only in his church. The only place he will receive you. Now, what did you say, Brother Branham? What if I'm sincere? No. Remember, Jesus talked to some sincere people, the worshipers for his day. And he said, in vain do you worship me. It's a true, genuine worship from the bottom of their hearts. In vain do you worship me, teaching for doctrine the commandments of men. Their denominational creed. Sincere, reverently, just as religious as they can be. And that wasn't new just with the Pharisees. Cain and Abel, the first two worshipers, was born a natural birth here on earth, absolutely came in the same attitude. So what he's speaking about here is that you must be under the covenant.
Right?
It doesn't matter how sincere you are. It's the covenant that has the binding power.
Right?
So it's not based on sincerity. It's not based on how these people would live. He said the Pharisees, you couldn't touch their life. But they had to come under the covenant. They had to meet God at his chosen place. Right? We know that that's in Christ, of course. As we continue on that same message, God's chosen place of worship, there was also two covenants given to the people. We're going to speak of them this morning. One of them was given to Adam on condition, if you will do this, don't do that. But that law was broken. Adam and Eve broke that law in the Garden of Eden. Then God made a second covenant and gave that to Abraham. And that law was unconditional. It isn't what you've done or what you will do, he said. I have already done it. That's grace. That's the law of life. God did that for Abraham and his seed after him. That's all of Abraham's seed. Notice he's making sure that we know all of Abraham's seed, right? The Bible said all Israel will be saved, but that don't mean Jews. Paul said that Israel, which is inward, or Israel outward. Outward, as we spoke the other night, was Isaac's children by sex. But the law of God was through Christ, which was Abraham's royal seed, that by grace all Israel is saved. That's all that's in Christ is saved. All, God's second covenant. But all these things foreshadowed Christ. Amen. So now we bring it up to further into the New Testament. These are the things that the Bible speaks about, that he's referring to about these covenants. Galatians 3, verse 6. Amen. I hope it's okay if we read some Bible this morning. Amen. Even as Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness. We just read that, right, in Genesis. Know you therefore that they which are of faith, the same are the children of Abraham. Amen. Says nothing about their natural birth. It's they that are of faith. Amen. They, the same are the children of Abraham. And the scripture, foreseeing that God would justify the heathen through faith, right? Foreseeing that, when God is making that covenant with Abraham, he knew about you, amen? Foreseeing that God would justify the heathen, that's us, Gentiles, right? Through faith, preached before the gospel unto Abraham, saying, in thee shall all nations be blessed. Right? Saying you were in God's mind when he made the covenant with Abraham. So then they which be of faith are blessed with faithful Abraham. Continuing on down in Galatians, same chapter, down to verse 13. Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree. And he did that so that the blessing of Abraham might come upon the Gentiles through Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. Hallelujah. That we might be made partakers of the covenant. Brethren, I speak after the manner of men. Though it be but a man's covenant, yet if it be confirmed, no man disannulleth or addeth thereto. He's speaking about man's covenant. How powerful is just men making covenants together? But he says, but now to Abraham and his seed were the promises made. And he saith not to seeds as of many, but as of one to thy seed, which is Christ. And this I say, that the covenant that was confirmed before of God in Christ, the law, which was 430 years after, cannot disannul, that it should make the promise of none effect. For the inheritance be of the law, for if the inheritance be of the law, it is a no more of promise, but God gave it to Abraham by promise. So he's saying that the next covenant which would come after Abraham was the covenant with Moses, the law. Because the people said, don't speak to us. God is so great. Just speak to Moses. Let Moses give us commandments from God. And they didn't. They rejected the covenant of grace. And they said, give us a law instead. Amen? So, but Galatians there is telling us, but the inheritance is not in the law. Your inheritance is found in the promise made to Abraham. So God takes it all the way back to that covenant by the law of grace. Amen. Through Christ, we go back. He fulfills the law. We go through the law back to that original covenant. And then we look at Matthew 3:9. It says, think not to say within yourself. So he's speaking to the religious leaders that were very self-satisfied in their religion and who they were. They were proud and lifted up because they were the chosen ones, right? And they said, we're the children of Abraham. And these people are scum and these people are low, and right? They were proud. And Jesus takes them down a notch. He says, think not to say within yourselves, we have Abraham to our father, right? You were born of Abraham natural. For I say unto you that God is able of these stones to raise up children unto Abraham. What he was speaking to them about, what he was telling them was about, you guys have missed it. Amen? The covenant is not just a natural covenant. But there's people that are going to receive this covenant that are not born of Abraham. Because God could just take a stone and make it a child of Abraham. Right? It's that natural birth doesn't mean a whole lot. But the spiritual birth. And then we continue down into Romans chapter 4, verse 9. Cometh this blessedness then upon the circumcision only. That's the Jews, the natural Israel only, or upon uncircumcision also, the others, the Gentiles. For we say that faith was reckoned to Abraham for righteousness. How was it then reckoned? When he was in circumcision or in uncircumcision? Actually, it happened before. Right? He wasn't given a sign of circumcision until later as a symbol that he believed. A sign that he had received that covenant. But the covenant was made before that. Right? And so Paul says, not in circumcision, but in uncircumcision. And he received the sign of circumcision, a seal of the righteousness of the faith, which he had yet being uncircumcised, that he might be the father of all them that believe. Though they be not circumcised, that righteousness might be imputed unto them also. Hallelujah. And the father of circumcision to them who are not of circumcision only, but also walk in the steps that the faith of our father Abraham, which he had being yet uncircumcised. Those that walk of faith walk like Abraham. Yes. Yeah. Amen? Are counted, and this is what we want to bring it back to this, are counted in the covenant. Right? That's the whole point of this. That he's including those that walk by faith in the covenant. For the promise that he should be the heir of the world was not to Abraham or to his seed through the law, but through the righteousness of faith. For if they which are of the law be heirs, faith is made void. And the promise made of none effect. Right? Because the promise was made. God said, I'm going to do this. But the law was, if you do this, you will get this. Right? But the promise made to Abraham was far greater. Far greater. So, that promise would be made of none effect. If you want to live by the law, then you abide by the law. If you're going to be under the law, you better not break it. Right. You better stay with it. Right. You better live it to the fullest. Right. And you're going to receive the rewards under the law. Right. This is where legalism breaks down. Yeah. Right. If you want to live under a legalistic experience with God, you better live it to the fullest. Right. Because you break any part of it, if you want to live under that covenant, right. I sure don't. Amen? Amen? Verse 15, because the law worketh wrath. Yeah. For where no law is, there's no transgression, but therefore it is of faith that it might be by grace. To the end of the promise, might be sure to all the seed. Not to that only? Looks like we cut off part of it. Amen. So Abraham is the father of the faith. The original grace covenant is promised to those that would walk in his spiritual footsteps. Amen. God telling him, I am your God. God telling you, I am your God. Amen. Walk with me. This is the covenant that he intends for us to walk in. Walk with me. Follow me. Listen to me. Now, in doing this, God had fettered himself. Now, we sing that song, Jesus breaks every fetter. Right? We don't really use those words. But a fetter is an attachment. Right? It's a binding. It's tying something up. You're fettering it. God ties himself to us through the covenant. He fettered himself to Abraham. Amen? Amen. He made the promise to Abraham. And we've said it many times, and we see it through many examples in Abraham's life. Right? Abraham lies to two different kings. He lies to Pharaoh. He lies to Abimelech. He falls flat on his face. He does terrible things, right? He goes and he lies to these men, and yet God comes down and he's going to kill them because Abraham lied to them, right? Why? Because God is honoring a covenant. He doesn't have a covenant with Abimelech, right? But he has a covenant with Abraham. And even though Abraham has done something kind of foolish, nowhere in that covenant did it say, if Abraham doesn't do something foolish, will I honor this? No, God just said, I will honor it. No matter what Abraham does. Oh, hallelujah. So the object of the covenant, the other party of the covenant is walking through life and he's doing things. He's going here. He's doing his best to follow God. He's listening to God's voice and he makes a bad mistake. He gets in his flesh. He gets afraid and he lies to the king and he's causing all kinds of problems. People are going to die, right? There's plagues and all kinds of things happening. Because Abraham made a mistake. And God honors the covenant. Amen. He's not looking at the mistake that Abraham made. He's looking at the covenant that he made.
Right. Amen.
The promise. Amen? The covenant is what held.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. I'm so glad, brother, sister. No matter how many mistakes we make.
Right.
Amen? He's looking at the covenant. It's the covenant that holds.
Right.
Amen. And this covenant then has to be reaffirmed. Okay, because Abraham dies and now Isaac comes on the scene. But God reaffirms his covenant with Isaac. Generational transition is an event in these covenants, is an event that requires a renewal of the covenant. There were different things that triggered this, where they would have to come and let's renew this covenant. Well, he renewed the covenant with Isaac. He renewed the covenant with Jacob. They each had their own experience with God. And it came down to, remember, you Bible readers know this, that God would refer to it as, I am the God of Abraham, Isaac, Jacob. And when it came down to Israel and Moses and the law, he would say, the covenant that I made with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Right? Each one reaffirming that covenant. And each one going through some things. Right? We know the things that the Bible speaks about Jacob and how he made some pretty questionable decisions in his life. Right? He was a trickster. He was a conniver. You know, he was a deceiver. But the covenant held. No matter what he did, the covenant held Jacob. Amen? Israel then was enslaved for 400 years. A little over 400 years, right? What was happening in that 400 years? Nothing. There was no prophets. That the Bible speaks of silent, right? They were enslaved. Now, put yourself in that position. You've been born into this nation, and you've been enslaved for 400 years. What was happening in 400 years? We just celebrated 250 years of our nation being in existence, right? And that seems like a long time. I mean, 250 years, they were, you know, they're shooting musket balls, and they had white wigs, and, you know, they were wearing fluffy whatever. You know, things were different, right? They rode horses, and didn't brush their teeth, and I mean all kinds of, very different, right? That was only 250 years. What was happening 400 years ago? I think about 400 years ago was when about the time that the Mayflower came over. Right? My math is right. 1620s. Right? Wouldn't that be right? The Mayflower. That was about the time when the Dutch were settled in the East Coast. Did you know that the Dutch had colonies there? They actually bought, I think it was Manhattan Island. I think they purchased Manhattan Island from the Indians that lived there. That was like 400 years ago. I'm just giving you a taste of this, right? So it's been 400 years since they've had a prophet, that they've even heard from God. Right? They had Joseph on the scene for a while, for sure, right? But it's been a long time. They're enslaved. But what's keeping them? That covenant never changed. The covenant still held. Amen? A long time of heartache and waiting. It looked like God had abandoned them, but the covenant still held. The covenant was still in effect. And the Bible says that God remembered his covenant. What caused him to go down there? The people began to cry out, and then God remembered his... It's not like, you know, we read that. It's not like he had forgotten about it, and then all of a sudden was like, oh! Here I was going about my daily routine, and I forgot! I left the burner on the stove. No, it's not like that, right? Nope, sorry! 400 years passed, forgot about you down there. You guys still all right? That wasn't it. It was foretold. It was all for a purpose. The covenant never went out of effect. But it was the covenant that held. Because God knew he was going to come back and bring them out because of the covenant that he made. So he brings them out. He establishes the Levitical law. He remembered his covenant with Abraham. Amen? And this is the pattern that is in the scripture, where the people have a covenant with God. Israel receives the law. They have a covenant, and then they break the law, or they break the covenant. They forget God. They suffer the consequences. Right? They groan in distress. God remembers the covenant. God steps in and delivers them. Amen? Amen? Let's look over at Ezekiel chapter 16. And now, Ezekiel is after all of that has happened with Israel. Right? They've broken God's laws and they've suffered the consequences. They've been captured and enslaved. And, so they've been broken up as a nation and all kinds of consequences because they broke the law covenant. But look at what the Lord says here in Ezekiel chapter 16, verse 59. For thus saith the Lord God, I will even deal with thee as thou hast done, which hath despised the oath in breaking the covenant. Nevertheless, I will remember my covenant with thee in the days of thy youth. So he's speaking about multiple covenants here. You've broken the covenant that I made with you and Moses, right? But there was another covenant that I made in the days of thy youth. That was way back in Abraham, right? Youth of the nation, right? And I will establish unto thee an everlasting covenant. So look, he's speaking about three different covenants. The covenant that they had broken, which was the law. He remembers the covenant that they made when they were very young as a nation in Abraham. And he's saying, but I'm going to establish an everlasting covenant when Messiah comes. Right? Nevertheless, I will remember my covenant with thee in the days of thy youth. And I will establish an everlasting covenant. When thou shalt remember thy ways and be ashamed. When thou shalt receive thy sisters, thine elder, and thy younger, and I will give them unto thee for daughters, but not by thy covenant. And I will establish my covenant with thee, and thou shalt know that I am the Lord. It is a higher way for them. And that thou mayest remember and be confounded, and never open thy mouth any more because of thy shame. when I am pacified toward thee for all that thou hast done, saith the Lord God. So you can see how God working, right? Now, the Jews are to receive the New Testament, the New Covenant. It's for them. He came to them. They rejected it so the Gentiles would receive it, but they will receive it as well. These types and these examples in the Bible, especially Israel, shows, brother, sister, that we can't do it. These were people that were raised to live the law. Amen? And they couldn't do it. Their entire lives were wrapped up in keeping the law. And they couldn't do it. And you think you're going to do it? The Gentiles, we don't even understand it in many ways. It shows over and over that we can't live it, that we can't keep a covenant with God. We can't live perfectly according to His word. Amen? It shows over and over that we needed grace.
Right.
Without grace, we're lost.
Right.
Without grace, there's no hope.
Right.
If we try and live according to a legalist way of living, a legalist experience with God, it's hopeless.
Right.
Well, God, I was good. I know I was good. I know I did this. And so, Lord, will you... No. It's hopeless. Brother, sister, there are centuries of history against you. Why do you think you're going to be any different than them? Many have tried. Millions have tried, and no one. In the book of Revelation, when a search was made, is anyone worthy to open the book? Amen? They searched through all time. They searched high and low, heaven up, above, below, from the beginning of time to the ending of time, all through. No one. No one was found worthy. Amen? Fallen humanity cannot live up to the standard of God's perfect, eternal holiness. Amen? But we have a covenant. And our covenant is not based on that. Aren't you thankful? Let's look at this new covenant. Luke chapter 22, verse 20. This is Jesus at the Last Supper. Likewise also, the cup he took after supper, saying, "This cup is the new testament in my blood, which is shed for you." Now, like I said before, that word testament, translated, other translations, it's actually the word for covenant. This is the new covenant, the new testament. In my blood, which is shed for you. If we look at Exodus 24:8, you can see it directly tying back to that older covenant that it was completely replacing. Moses took the blood and sprinkled it on the people and said, "Behold, the blood of the covenant, which the Lord hath made with you concerning all these words." Amen. So we compare the two. So similar, right? But Christ himself is taking his blood and he is becoming the covenant. Now, I want to, we're kind of trying to go through this in a very logical way and establish these things so that we can maybe hit on them some tonight. So please come tonight. Amen. Because we have part two of this tonight. But maybe you've heard this term. I know Brother Baker has mentioned it, and Brother Brown throws this phrase out. He says, "Christ is the angel of his own covenant." Right? You've heard that? Christ is the angel of his own covenant. And maybe you're like me, and you hear that, and you go, "I don't know what that means." Lucas admitted it. Hallelujah. what does that mean? Christ is the angel of his own covenant. Okay, cool. Awesome, right? What actually does that mean? Christ is the angel of his own covenant. That's good. I believe it. But what is it? Why is that important? Why is he talking about that? So in the ancient world, when they would make these covenants, the covenants were made between many covenants, and we're just talking about naturally now. We're not talking about God making a covenant, but just in the natural, when they would make these, many times it was a great king making a covenant with another people, right? And they would call them a vassal or something like that. And so if a king was making a covenant with a subordinate people, like, hey, we're going to be part of the same kingdom now, they rarely did it face to face because the king was viewed as unapproachable. The king was majestic. The king was separated.
Right.
Amen? The king was distant. He didn't come right down to, you know, shake their hands and, hey, king, how's it going? No. The king was on a throne somewhere, right? And he was the one that you were making the covenant with, but you never spoke to him directly. Instead, he would send a representative.
Right.
He would send a third-party mediator. Amen? That would come and establish the covenant with you or renew the covenant with you. And those mediators, they're not just some neutral party. They're not just some guy off the street. They actually carried the full weight of the word of the king with them. Right? They had the authority of the king behind them. They had the ability to establish a covenant, to take the king and bind the king into an agreement with other people. They had a lot of power and authority. They were the voice of the king to the people.
Right.
Amen? And when God made a covenant with Israel, he had Moses speaking on his behalf. Right? In fact, the people said, we don't want to hear God speak. Let Moses speak to us, right? And the prophets would come one after another through the Old Testament and reaffirm the covenant, renew it, reestablish. But the difference is that Christ came personally. So that mediator is the messenger of the covenant, right? An angel is a messenger. The messenger is the one that comes and makes the covenant. They're the ones that actually physically walk, you know, if they do the sacrifice and they take the oath and they eat the meal, they go through all of the things to make that covenant happen. That's the messenger of the covenant. That's why it's so astounding or it's so notable that Christ is the angel of his own covenant. Because he's the messenger and he's the king. Hallelujah. He's the great God of the universe, but yet he becomes man to come and establish his covenant with man. In fact, he is God-man, right? So he actually represents both sides. He actually is the making of the covenant actually happens in him completely because he's the sacrifice. He represents God on one hand and man on the other. Amen. He is the ultimate angel of the covenant. He is the one that says, my blood. It's not just this blood, but he says, my blood is the symbol of the new covenant. Remember the Passover when the lamb was slain in Passover. Amen. And the death angel passed over you. Where death was defeated, he says, I am become that lamb. I am become that Passover. Now it's my body. It's my blood. It's my word. Amen? The breaking of the Mosaic covenant, the Mosaic law, came with curses. It came with consequences. But he took all the curses. He had to go through that covenant by taking all of the curses of that broken covenant on himself. I absorb them. I take them all. so that a new covenant can be established. A new testament. There's legal debt that exists out here with this covenant, and I'm taking it on me. So with that, the debt of that old covenant fulfilled, and that covenant then now wrapped up and put away. No longer in effect. Now it takes us back to the original covenant with Abraham, which has never ceased. It's still in effect. But Christ enables us, puts us back into that perfect covenant. He actually became the sacrifice and fulfilled this. This is why on the cross he said, "It is finished." Right? What was he? We understand that all time wasn't finished. The battle wasn't finished. We're still here. We're still going through things. Right? We're still battling Satan. There's a lot of scripture that still has to be fulfilled. Right? There's a rapture that has to take place. There's battles that have to be fought. Right? Spiritual battles and literal battles. There's a lot of prophecy that happens still. Right? So everything isn't finished. A lot of things happen to happen in time. But yet he said, "It is finished." What was he talking about? He was talking about the covenant. It is complete. It is finished. The entirety of God's legal framework is now in place. Amen. So now we, as individuals, can enter into a covenant with God. Amen. And we operate under the grace of his blood. Let's just look at several quotes here. Amen. We're not going to take too much more of your time. Let me just read you some statements. And then, like I said, we'll pick up on this evening, Lord willing. On the wings of a snow-white dove, he said, "The covenant was made." He says, "You know how he cleaved them apart." Speaking of those sacrifices. In the old times, when they made a covenant, they would take and write the agreement up and kill an animal and stand in between it and tear the covenant into one person took one part, like the Chinese laundry used to do. The Chinaman here, he couldn't write English, so he wrote on there and tore a piece of paper and handed you a part. That's pretty clever, right? Because if you rip a piece of paper, like, it doesn't rip in a straight line. It has jagged, right? And the pattern that it makes will be different every time. So if I took a piece of paper and ripped it and gave you half, and then ripped it and gave somebody another piece and gave somebody else, those two won't match up, right? Only the one that was ripped apart will actually match up perfectly because of the way paper rips like that, right? So very ingenious for the Chinese laundryman to do that. I can't write, "Here's your receipt. There's your half," right? You come back, you give me the ticket, I give you your wash, right? And Brother Branham is saying that's the way the covenant works. He says, the Chinaman here, he couldn't write English, so he wrote on there and tore a piece of paper and handed you a part. And you remember the Chinese laundries when they used to do that, and your two ends had to compare to get your clothes. So you couldn't fool him because he had the other end of it. You might recopy your name, but you can't re-tear that paper. I just had a funny thought pop into my head, sorry. How does he find it, right? I don't know, I got a whole big bag of them. Hopefully he didn't have too many of them, right? Or he'd hang them up with the wash. They probably had a method to it, I'm sure. He said, so it had to be the same piece of paper. That's the way they'd done it in the Oriental days, or long ago in the Eastern days. They'd kill an animal, stand in between it, and tear the piece of goatskin apart. And when the covenant was confirmed, they brought the pieces together, and they had to dovetail just exactly. Now what God is showing him here is this. On these sacrifices is speaking of Christ. That's how God took Jesus to Calvary and tore him apart and received the body up into heaven and sent the Spirit down upon us. Right? That's the tearing. One part goes to God and one part goes to us. That same Spirit that was on him has to be on you to dovetail with the body, to be the bride at the end time, see? So that same Spirit has to be in you to be the bride. you have to have that other piece, right? That's right. It won't be a denomination now. It'll be the word of what he was, see. But like that word has to come to the word, like cell in a human being. You know, when your body's being built, it isn't one cell of a human next of a dog and next of a pig. It's all human. And that's the way the body of Christ is. It's all the word of God. Not just part of it, not some tradition added to it. It's all the body of Christ. He's speaking about the purity of the body being just born of the word. Not mixing in, oh, we've got some creeds or traditions from this church and we mix it in here and we pull a creed or tradition from this church and mix it in here and that's the body of Christ. No, he says that's like, a, you know, mixing cells of different animals. It's all human, right? So the body of Christ is all word. He says, now we find here that he used both a turtle dove and a young pigeon because they are of the selfsame family. So continuing on, God's chosen place of worship. He says, there are two covenants given to the people. We're going to speak of them in the morning. One of them was given to Adam on condition. If you do this and don't do that, but that law was broken. Adam and Eve broke that law in the Garden of Eden. And God made a second covenant that and give that to Abraham. And that law was unconditional. It isn't what you've done or what you will do, he said. I have already done it. That's grace. That's the law of life. God did that for Abraham and his seed after him. That's all of Abraham's seed. As the Bible said, all Israel will be saved, but that don't mean the Jews. Paul said the Israel, which is inward, or Israel outward. Outward, as we spoke the other night, was Isaac's children by sex, but the law of God was through Christ, which was Abraham's royal seed. Right? Notice he uses that Abraham's royal seed. By grace, all Israel is saved. All that's in Christ is saved. All God's second covenant. But all these things foreshadowed Christ. Then in Christ, the message Christ, he says, look, in the Old Testament, when agreement was made, it was under the basis of the shed blood. Now, what did they do in the Oriental time? They took an animal, cut it, killed it, cut it in two, took it out here after they torn the animal in two, and laid it out here. Each man got in there, and they wrote this agreement to each other. And they cut that or tore it in two. One man took one piece, the other piece was taken like this, and they made a vow over the dead body of the animal. If they fail to keep their covenant, may they be as this dead animal that they've taken the covenant over. See, the promise was made through blood. The covenant was made through blood. See what I mean? Now, our promise was made through blood. God Almighty took the body, the Lord Jesus Christ, up to Calvary, and there he tore him in two. He took the body up into glory to sit at the right hand of the majesty, and he sent the Holy Ghost back here. When these believers come together with the covenant, both pieces of the paper had to dovetail together, or it was absolutely the wrong piece of paper. Amen. So now the covenant is made to every individual. Right? The messenger of his own covenant comes directly to each one. It's not a group. Right? Christ is both parts of the covenant. This portion of the Spirit is given to you. Right? That's Christ. The body goes to the Father. But it's him. Right? He made a way for us to be able to enter into a binding eternal agreement with God. Because he knew that we couldn't do it. We could make a covenant, but we'd never keep it. We'd never fulfill it. We'd never hold up our end. But he made a way to have a binding agreement that would be able to be binding all through eternity. Amen. He made a way. That's why he's worthy. That's why we sing that song. He made a way. He made a way for me. Amen. And the token is the proof that you've entered into that covenant. Amen. That's the part that you are given to show that you are a covenant people. Amen? that you are living under the auspices of a covenant with God. That he has bound himself, fettered himself to you in a covenantal relationship. Not a legal agreement, not a financial contract, but a family covenant. Where one was a stranger and now they're family. Where one was an enemy, enmity against God, but now our family. Now our welcome at the table. Now, whenever you come into his presence, you're welcomed and honored as a guest, as part of him. Amen? It's a personal covenant. Amen. Let's stand. I want to read to you this, and this is where we will continue tonight. Now, look at the title of this message. The Unconditional Covenant That God Made With His People. Pretty good title, pretty good message, amen? So listen, this morning. This will give you power. This will give you faith to take on the enemy. Amen? Brother Bram says, listen, you are the covenant people of God. You are the covenant people of God. We are under a covenant. God tore Christ apart at Calvary, making the covenant, swearing by himself. He took the body up into heaven, which will return someday. But the spirit he gave back to lead the church. The same life that was in Christ Jesus is in the church tonight by the Holy Ghost. Amen. Doing and acting and performing the same things he did when he was here on earth. You've received it. You've got the covenant. Don't minimize that. God has made a promise to you. I could make a lot of promises. And you go, oh, okay, maybe, sure. I could make you a promise. I'll give you $1 million right now. And you go, well, does he even have it? I don't know. You'd say, okay, sure. We'll see, right? You'd be skeptical. This is the God of the universe. Binding himself to you through a promise, a covenant. The same life that was in Christ Jesus is in the church tonight by the Holy Ghost, doing and acting and performing the same things he did when he was here on earth. You've received it. You've got the covenant. It's written to you. It's swore by God. You can't fail. But I fail all the time, but the covenant remains. Look at what he says. That makes the devil mad. Sure does. When you realize who you are. Don't fear about the child, sister. God has made it so. So don't fear about the baby, sister. Don't do that. Speaking to someone there who was fearful because the enemy had attacked. He said, don't fear. Just say, God, I now accept that. It's my personal property. I'm a believer. We talk about this, claiming the promises, and I take it. It belongs to me. Well, why does it belong to you? Right? That's what we're talking about. The why. Why does it belong to you? Because God entered into a covenant with you. I'm a believer. I fill out this check. And I say, in Jesus' name, I accept that. That's all then. And the devil will say, well, you're no better. But glory to God, I got it anyhow. Amen. Amen. Abraham, tomorrow, how are you feeling? Well, you don't have to feel any different. But praise God, I'm going to have it anyhow. God said so. That's right. How do you know? I got the covenant. Amen. I've got a legally binding agreement with the God of the universe. Now, to the covenant people. Who's the covenant people?
Amen.
A couple of you.
Amen.
Amen. Who are you, part of the covenant people?
Amen.
You believe that you're under the covenant?
Yes.
Now, to the covenant people, for those of you that said yes, he said this. Whatsoever things you desire as a Christian, when you pray, believe you received it, just hold right on to it and it'll be given to you.
Amen.
Is that right? It'll be given. Just hold right on to it because God had swore that he'd do it.
Amen.
I'm here in a confirmation. I'm speaking as Jesus. I'm here in a confirmation. I'm going away, going back to the Father, and then the Holy Ghost will come and he will confirm everything I've said. He will be with you, and he will continue this ministry on till I return again. He's faithful to his word. He's faithful to his covenant. But you have to know that you've entered into a personal covenant with him. You have to know that he came to you and gave you that token, showing that you, so that you can say, I am the people of the covenant.
Amen.
Amen? He swore by himself because there was no greater.
That's right.
So then the only question is he faithful?
Amen.
And do you believe it?
Amen.
That's what Abraham did. He looked at God, said, you're making me a promise. I think you're good to your promise.
Amen.
And I believe you.
Amen.
And God said, that's righteousness.
Amen.
What do you want this morning? What do you need?
Right.
We want everything that the covenant provides.
Amen.
Look at him that made the promise and say, I believe you.
Amen.
You're faithful. Not only can you do it, but I believe that you will because you said you would. I believe you. That's how simple it is, brother, sister. That is only belief. Amen. Let's bow our heads. Father, we thank you so much, Lord. Lord, we just tremble, Lord God, when we think of what you've done for us. Nothing to do with ourselves, Lord. Yet your grace and mercy came and found us. Lord, you found us in a condition where we were an enemy of you. We were ruled by flesh. We were ruled by the law of sin and death. And yet, Lord, you found us. And you said, I have a better covenant for you. Lord, you put something in us to cry out. Say, yes, Lord, I believe that. I have ears to hear. I have a heart to believe. And I do believe your promise. I judge you faithful that made the promise. We love you so much, Lord. I pray that this would not just be an intellectual study this morning, but that it would penetrate down into our hearts, Lord. That it would permeate, Lord, into our daily battles with the enemy, Lord. For truly we know we fight a worthy adversary. But he's standing on nothing. He has no grounds to stand upon. We're standing on an everlasting covenant. We're standing on a firm foundation. We are standing on solid ground. And our enemy has no grounds to stand upon. Father, may we remember these things. I pray that you would bring them to our remembrance, Lord. That you would strengthen our souls, O God. And make it a revelation to us. Because no matter how much we talk about it, we know that it means nothing until you come personally and make a covenant with us individually. And then we know that we know that we know that we know. And No demon in hell can shake us from it. Because you made the covenant with us. I pray that you would speak to every heart here this morning, Lord. Reveal yourself to us. We thank you, Lord. We rejoice in these things. These are joyous scriptures and joyous word, Lord. It should cause us to worship you so much, Lord. When we consider what we deserved versus what we're getting. How we thank you, Lord. Pray that you just bless us the remainder of the day, Father. Be with us, Lord, in our conversation. May we come back tonight, Lord, refreshed in our bodies, Lord, ready to receive more of your word. But may we feed upon your word as we go, and as we go in and out and about our daily lives. We thank you. We love you so much, Lord. Words cannot express how much we love you. How grateful we are, Lord. Where would we be without you? We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. We can thank him, right? We can worship him. Let's sing that.